This is even more tragic because a lot of frontline community members have higher rates of asthma, and that's more money they have to spend on medical care as opposed to necessities. And asthma is also a leading cause of premature death. Here are these two graphs I was talking about. The first is the percentage of population diagnosed with asthma. You can see Bethlehem, unfortunately, leads the Lehigh Valley with 12%, as compared to the US average of 7.7%. And the second graph we have is just Bethlehem mortality rates from a number of sources, one being heart disease. You can see that heart disease has unfortunately resulted in a lot more deaths in the 3 years between 2016 and 2019. And obviously pollutants can also affect heart health because it wears down the lining. We also think that Bethlehem being a food desert also certainly plays a part. The fact that residents don't really have a lot of options to buy fresh, green, healthy fruits, vegetables, and they're having to substitute for more non-heart healthy options. Sorry, Ben. We touched upon Professor Brina Holland's air pollution study throughout the presentation. We'll cover it more in depth here. She conducted research in 2008 and 2013. Just some things she found was that childhood asthma was 17% higher in Bethlehem, and that children are actually three times more likely to contract asthma in Bethlehem than in other places. The majority of her research was done by having students use handheld pollutant measures, basically dispersed all throughout the city to measure the levels of pollution. And she rerouted children's school routes accordingly to avoid high areas of pollution. And this relates directly to EJ 2.4, which involves measuring and fighting environmental burdens, which we thought this was just a great example of how things can be done to kind of subvert these environmental health risks. And we'll talk more about this in the key action section. Really quickly on water pollution, a recent Penn Environment study was done. It was conducted throughout 53 waterways in Pennsylvania, one of them being the river that runs through Bethlehem. And microplastics, which are very minuscule, tiny pieces of plastics, were actually found in 100% of these 53 waterways. We really don't know how microplastics directly affect our health, but we do know that they are getting inside of us and causing possible DNA damage, cellular damage, and inflammation. So we really need to be careful with them. And all these microplastics are resulting from the extreme amount of plastic waste produced each year, approximately 35 million tons. And of this, only 10% are recycled. So there's obviously a lot of plastic waste. So what's being done about it? Well, about 4 tons of plastics are cleared from American waterways each year. 4 tons is obviously a very large number, but it's small compared to the 35 million tons that are being produced. The Break Free from Plastic Pollution Act has also been passing in various regions. This is going to prohibit single-use plastic bans, as well as updating stormwater infrastructure to really better capture those microplastics. So this should lead to less plastics in our waterways. And further studies are being conducted into how they affect our bodies, which really relates to EJ 2.2 and 2.4, which calls to measure environmental burdens, including water pollution.
So now we're going to shift gears and talk about the creation of an Environmental Justice Council that is called for by the CAP and especially its potential candidates. EJ 1.2 calls to create a council with representatives from frontline communities to inform the development of the Bethlehem Climate and Environmental Justice Plan, the implementation of the strategies in the CAP, and future updates to the Bethlehem CAP. And we based our research for potential candidates to be part of this council on their involvement in Bethlehem and Lehigh Valley social action, their exclusivity to the area or local chapters of national organizations, and their representation of a diverse group of residents in the area. So here is our list of potential candidates.
We have it split into three subsections, the first being social justice organizations. These organizations are going to be very practiced in giving everyone a say. Our second is community empowerment, which really deals with giving aid to the impoverished, underprivileged residents of Bethlehem. And our final is sustainability organizations, which is really a lot of what environmental justice is about, bringing sustainability to Bethlehem and making it a reality instead of just a goal. We don't really have time to dive into each organization in a lot of depth, but we do have more information on our Google Drive folder about each specific one. And now we'll talk about some key actions to encourage environmental justice in Bethlehem. So we think some community-oriented programs and projects should go a long way. The first, we think working with the Bethlehem Area Public Library, specifically the Southside Branch and the Southside Garden Alliance, to really encourage and promote the use of their tool library. This can help foster a reuse and repair economy, say if someone needed like a tool or something, instead of having to waste their money buying a new tool, they could just use a perfectly already purchased tool, which will also reduce waste. We think the creation of a food waste prevention network could also be very helpful. It's really all about fostering a link between local restaurants and food banks. As we all know, there are a ton of restaurants all throughout Bethlehem, which probably accrues a lot of waste. Just making an easy link between those restaurants and food banks could go a long way. There's actually a campus example of this. It's an application called Hungry Hawks for Lehigh University. Anyone can go on, fill out an application, and try to secure leftover food from like catering events. Obviously, this is just like university-wide. It's not as broad as citywide, but we think it could be an example. And finally, developing a map of fruit and nut trees to connect cleaners and forages, we thought could be kind of interesting. And to do this, we would have to utilize the Bethlehem tree inventory map.
So now expanding the Purple Air Monitoring Network in the South Side. One of our biggest roadblocks for performing pollution-related health research in Bethlehem was the lack of accessible air quality data in the city for the past decade. Expanding the Purple Air Network, especially the South Side where asthma rates are most prevalent, would give the city access to regular air quality data that can be utilized as city traffic patterns and their effect on the health of residents. The expansion of the network will allow us to receive accessible regular data of PM2.5 emissions. And we spoke with Dr. Holland about this issue, and she explained that a goal to strive towards would be to have one monitor for every square kilometer in the South Side, but just having them available at major intersections and sites of traffic would be very helpful in identifying problem areas. And then increasing monitoring efforts also aligns with CAP goal EJ2.4 to measure local environmental burdens to inform neighborhood level investments. So this map shows where the three purple air monitors are located around Bethlehem. And as you can see, the monitors are not really anywhere near the major areas of Bethlehem, especially not in the frontline communities where poor air quality is the most prominent. Clearly, there should be some located in the key locations, especially the South Side. And the air quality data that can be referenced on sites like IQ Air and Weather Underground are not accurate to the actual area, since the monitors they're receiving from are not in the primary areas of the city. And Dr. Holland is actually currently working with Lehigh faculty and students to put up one purple air monitor on 3rd Street. So that would be in addition to the three on the screen. And this is the purchase page for purple air monitor. They are relatively cheap to purchase and other monitor compared to other monitors, and all they need to function is a Wi-Fi signal and will be able to access air quality data at any time from anywhere. And then a community-oriented new programs and projects. We also looked into a Safe Routes for School program to address environmental inequities in Bethlehem. And based on the 2008 study that Dr. Holland was a part of, developing specific routes to and from school that avoid heavily used intersections can improve the high child asthma rates in frontline communities. Like CJ touched on earlier, the study involved the group using handheld PM2.5 monitors to map out students' walking routes and find alternate routes to school that exposed the children to significantly less air pollution. And this program would be a direct way to implement the findings of this study effectively. And the entire program would align with CAP strategy T1.3 to provide safe routes for pedestrians in and around town. And this entire program would take inspiration from the program that Santa Monica already has in place. And now a planning and zoning ordinance. Inspiration may be taken from the Newark, New Jersey ordinance to fulfill CAP goal EJ1.3 to target and codify environmental justice considerations into city ordinances and planning and zoning decisions, which involves creating a commission to review existing city ordinances and planning and zoning decisions for environmental justice considerations, and also developing processes such as regular forums to increase the voice frontline communities have on city decisions that impact the environmental quality of their communities. We want to take inspiration from the Newark ordinance because it requires industrial and commercial development proposals to include information about cumulative environmental impacts, and it also allows decision makers and the public to make an informed decision if the development really meets the city's sustainability goals. And to explain how the ordinance would actually work, it involves the creation of a citywide natural resources index and environmental review checklist. The resources index would detail the existing environmental conditions and related public health, demographic, and land use features that will serve as a baseline for any new development application. And then the environmental review checklist requires development applicants to provide information pertaining to their proposed project, including air pollution, stormwater, hazardous materials, truck trips, solid waste, and geographic proximity to frontline communities, among many others. And then after these are filled out, the forms will be submitted to the Environmental Commission and the Planning Board or Zoning Boards for review. And the most important part about this entire ordinance is that the public has full access to this checklist to weigh in on it and make their voices heard. And the process will become a part of the Zoning Planning Board application package for applicable commercial and industrial development projects. It's a lot. And then an additional ordinance we took a look at was the alert ordinance. One main point of the Biden environmental justice plan was community notification, and we want Bethlehem to reflect this by considering an alert ordinance in line with Congresswoman Rochester's ALERT Act, which stands for Alerting Localities of Environmental Risks and Threats. And the goals of this ordinance would be to create a community notification program that requires industries producing hazardous chemicals to engage with the community to ensure residents have real-time knowledge of any toxic release, and also ensure that communities are engaged in the subsequent remediation plans. And the process of this would be requiring a facility that has a release of an extremely hazardous substance to hold a public meeting within 72 hours of the release, and also requiring a facility that has processed extremely hazardous substances to hold an annual public meeting. And this assists in promoting transparency between frontline communities and facilities that cause negative environmental effects.
Just some additional potential high-level actions we also think could help out. Launching a community climate action grant really brings that empowerment to the community, specifically the frontline communities. It gives a way to really have those members voice their say and ideas, which is always great. And their words will really matter because they have more hands-on experience on how these environmental issues are really impacting us. We also think developing legislation to require training of city staff on environmental racism and equity could go a long way. Environmental justice is by no means a new thing, but I do think that it's not really a popular thing that people know a lot about. So just having kind of raising the awareness and saying like, yes, these things do exist is something that should be done. And finally, conducting survey on that number two heating oil and the corresponding levels of pollution is something that we should do just to see if it is adding to the problem, and if it is, how to fix it. And finally, just some closing remarks. We want to say thank you again so much to everyone. A quick shout out to Beth for being so helpful along the way. Thank you for everything you've done. And we really do think that Bethlehem is on the path to environmental equity with the passing of the Climate Action Plan. Just to briefly recap some key steps to get there, we need to mitigate the negative health effects of high traffic in frontline communities. This is where most of the pollution throughout Bethlehem is coming from, and it is disproportionately affecting lower income, more minority residents of Bethlehem. We need to increase the regular monitoring in frontline communities to get a full picture of the problem. We have to work with the community organizations we listed to get that EJC up and running, we think that could go a long way in helping. And finally, creating a Bethlehem Climate and Environmental Justice Plan. And Bethlehem's on the right direction with the passing of the Climate Action Plan. So thank you guys so much again. And I guess now I'll take questions.